Well, they had a very long journey without any children. It was just the two of them. And then their answer came not all that far from where they lived, right in the Southeast. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger, welcoming you to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. It's brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. You can learn more about this work at embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. I'm the Marketing and Development Director for the NEDC, and my guest today, of whom I was speaking, is Trish Clarity. I was talking about she and her husband, Aaron, and they are parents of a beautiful baby girl. We're going to talk about how all that happened today. Really interesting story, Trish. I mean, you two were married for close to a decade and a half, if I'm correct, with no children. So, I mean, at that point, what was your mindset toward the possibility of becoming parents?
At that point, I think we had already come to the realization that that was just not God's plan for us, and we were okay. We had God had really increased our faith in that, and we knew that if God chose to give us children, then that was perfect, and that was His plan, that was His will. And if He miraculously chose to give us children, then that was His plan also. It was quite a journey to get to that point in our faith, clearly. But at that point, that's where we were settled on when we finally were like, you know what? Let's just try for adoption. Let's just see what happens. So.
Had you tried other routes before? Were you not comfortable trying other routes, or you know, what sort of happened in the in between from when you first got together to when you finally got Sadie, which we'll get to later on in the conversation?
Well, so we got married in 2006, so now we'll be celebrating our 15th anniversary this year. So we decided in our first year of marriage that we wanted to have kids. We knew that going in, we both wanted children when we got married. That was just a common thing. We knew that children are a gift from the Lord, and we believed in that. And so, we kind of went along that first year or so that we were like, okay, yeah, we're wanting kids, we're wanting kids, and then nothing was happening. And then I will say around that 2 to 3 year mark, that was probably the hardest season of infertility for us, or for me specifically, because you begin to see all of the negative pregnancy tests. You go to the doctor, you're getting diagnosis, and you're thinking, this is just not going to happen. And now we, for ourselves, we weren't comfortable going too far down the, I don't want to say rabbit hole, but too far down that trail of exhausting every infertility effort. That just wasn't for us. In fact, I will say that embryo adoption appealed to us greatly because we were not going down the IVF road, because we realized at that time some of the issues that were going on in the IVF circle were people were having so many embryo, they would harvest so many eggs, they would fertilize this great number of eggs, and then now we've got this 8, 10, 12 fertilized eggs, as we call them, embryos, which we call life. And so now you have this new dilemma. Well, are we going to have 8 to 12 kids? Okay, reality is, okay, maybe not all of them survive, but we recognize each one as life. So our hope would be that each one survives. And we knew that that was not something we weren't going to go down that road. We didn't realize embryo adoption was even a thing. At that point, the only options we knew for parents in those situations were to discard those embryos, or just let them sit frozen forever, however long you're willing to pay the storage fees. And that just, we weren't willing to be a part of that dilemma for ourselves, which again is why embryo adoption was so appealing for us, because it sort of felt like this is like God's answer to this dilemma that there is. So we felt like, okay, we can be part of the solution here. But before we got to even hear about embryo adoption, we just sort of settled on, we're just not to sound too out there, but we're just married people. We'll continue down the road that God has called us to and do the things that married people do. And God will either bless, open the womb or close the womb. And it's still all God's doing. And that's just kind of where we landed.
I'm sure it is difficult to get to that place. I've heard others say there are times when you've gone through infertility for so long after it's been so many years of getting just the same answer, the one you didn't want, over and over, there gets a point where at times you don't lose your faith, and it doesn't say anything about you as a Christian. It says you're human, go figure. But there are times when God, Christ, all of it doesn't feel real. Did you guys experience any of that?
I think we always knew that it was God's plan. It was more about grasping that. And then I think for us, we realized at one point, and I can't even remember exactly at what point, it might have been 7 or 8 years into the journey, when we realized our biggest issue wasn't about whether or not we were going to have kids or not, whether or not God was going to give us children. The bigger thing that God was dealing with was our hearts. And I remember there was this moment. So my husband's brother and his wife have five children. I mean, and when they started having kids, I mean, it happened one right after the other. The same God that opened her womb so fruitfully, giving them children that way, is the same God who closed mine. And so it was kind of, we realized that it was a matter of our hearts at stake. It wasn't even about the children. It was realizing that if we had an issue, our issue was with a sovereign God, not an issue of fertility or infertility. And I think that's when God began to give us peace about whatever his plan was for us. Yes, the yearning was still there. Yes, I still had those prayers like Hannah did, where you probably couldn't understand the thing I was saying, and I would beg God for this. But then I got to a time where I could walk away from those times of prayer and be like, your will be done.
A mature perspective. That's just great to hear. And we don't always talk about that perspective enough. I don't think that it's not just about infertility and having children and what your family's going to look like. It's about what God is doing in your heart. And that, by the way, is prescriptive medicine that you can use for any situation, any trial that you're going through. God is, if you're in Christ, we know he is using it to somehow shape your heart and bring you closer to him. So there is that confidence. You can probably tell we've got a couple of people who believe in Reformed theology talking to one another here. Yeah, me too. So let me ask you about this, Trish. How did you finally, I don't think I ever asked, I mean, I know you guys, but I don't think I've ever asked you this. How did you learn about embryo adoption and the NEDC eventually?
Well, let me go back one more thing on what we were talking about just before that. There are a lot of people out there that have said, and even said to me in our journey, if you'll just let go and let God, it'll happen. Or if you buy a sports car, it'll happen. If you, you know, all of these, do this, it'll happen. And you know what? Even when we became most content that God was not going to give us children, it still didn't happen. It was still some years later before we got to adoption. So that would be my message to everybody. It's so outside of you. It's so much part of God and his plan. Yes, I implore you to be content with where God has you, but that does not mean you're going to get that thing that you want most.
Yeah, contentment isn't bargaining. It's not just another way of going about getting what you want, right?
No. If it is bargaining, it's not true contentment. So how we figured out about embryo adoption. So we actually, we had been talking about and praying about adoption, which had actually been on the table through most of our marriage. I don't know why God saw fit to bring it that much later on, but when we finally were like, okay, let's talk about this. We know what scripture says about orphans. We know how we're to help them. That doesn't always mean that we all have to adopt. We know that, mm-hmm. But what did it mean? You know, was that God's plan for us? So we decided it was the summer of, I think it was 2017. Okay, let's adopt. And we were going to do traditional domestic adoption is what we settled on. And then by that fall, as we were kind of learning more about adoption and trying to figure out what agency do we use and how much money do we have to raise and all, you know, the logistics of it. As we were going through that, we both sort of stumbled upon embryo adoption. I remember I was laying in bed one night reading through some stuff about home studies and something popped up with NEDC. And I guess, you know, Google just grabs a word. And I was like, embryo adoption, what is that? And so I began to search through that. And I was just like, I could feel just like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is exciting. Like, this could be amazing. And it wasn't even about being pregnant. That's just like cherry on top. But it was like, wow, this is just a beautiful thing. But before I even mentioned it to Aaron, I sought out some counsel from another older, wiser woman that I knew who was very familiar with our journey and all that. And the reason I sought that out was I wanted to make sure that my heart wasn't in a place where I was longing for this because it would fill that kind of void that I thought I needed, you know, to be pregnant and go through that, all of that. I wanted to make sure that, hey, is my heart still about adoption? Is my heart still about God's desire for our lives and less about me? So I spent some time talking with this older woman for a little while. And she was like, Trish, I just feel like this is like God's answer to all of the things I've ever heard you talk about with the whole fertility society out there. Cause it's kind of like its own little society. She's like, I feel like this is just the proper response for you in light of how you feel about some of those things. So I continued to pray about it. And then as I brought it to Aaron, he actually had read an article on the Gospel Coalition about embryo adoption. And we were like, okay, are we doing this? All right, let's do it. But that still wasn't even our beginning with the NEDC. That's wasn't our start. We actually looked into a local embryo adoption program in our area. Since people will know where I'm from, I'm sure as you post this, I won't say who or what, but it was a very terrible experience. We were on a waiting list for 8 months before embryos became available because it was so new. They didn't have embryos. They were waiting. And so once they became available, there was sort of a God complex there. And they basically, in no other terms, kind of said, you've not exhausted all efforts for infertility. Mm. You've not tried anything except like some very basic medication. We're looking for some people who were totally hopeless. That's what they told us. Mm. And I remember her pushing the tissue box over to me, waiting for me to cry. And I started to, and I was like, I don't think I want to give you that. And so I composed myself, trying to compose my husband because he was really he was kind of getting on the angry side because he could tell that this was really hurtful for me. And I was just kind of like, just calm down. And I remember standing up and I said, we will never be hopeless. So thank you, but no thank you. And we went home, and I think it was the next day we turned in our application to the NEDC, and it has been the most wonderful experience ever. Like, it could not have gone any better.
Right. Because you did end up having your daughter
through the NEDC. And, you know, we're just so pleased for you. Tell me about Sadie.
Sadie is very goofy, funny little girl. She, when she goes to nursery at church, they love to see her come because she's not the crier. And she kind of other kids, like there's this one little girl who's always calm when she's in there. And I'm like, she's going to be that friend. She's going to be the one that's like, hey, let's go do this and let's try this and not afraid of much, which is a little scary for mama and daddy, but she's not very afraid. The funny thing about her is we have people tell us all the time how she looks like Erin, like, and she has Trisha's personality. Like, it's hard to believe that she's adopted. And I'm like, but she is. And we have a lot of people try to say, no, but she's yours. We know she's adopted, but she's yours. And we're like, we know that, but the beauty of her life is that she is adopted. So you don't have to try to make us feel better about that. That's part of it. And we're going to be able to share the gospel with her through her adoption and how we're adopted as sons and daughters. So, you know, we love that. But yeah, she's very funny and a little bit of a daredevil. And I will say, going through and trying to select the family, we did anonymous adoption. And that was difficult trying to, you feel like you're cherry picking your family. So we had to pray through that process a lot because you didn't want to have that cherry pick kind of feel.
Right, right.
But we prayed about some things and we were like, but you know what? It's okay if we look at families with red hair because my husband has red hair. That's fine. We have to figure out a way to narrow this down. Anyways, God already knew who he had for us. We were just praying for him to reveal it to us. So clearly he did. So we did look at families with red hair. Ironically, she is as blonde can be. So it's sort of humorous to us to be like, well, here's me with my brown hair and there's him with his red hair. And here's this like blonde haired little girl in our midst. And it's just a reminder again of her beautiful adoption. So,
amen. Yeah. And I love it. I mean, you know, hey, there's no doubt that any form of adoption is really the gospel in miniature. So I love that you see that as a platform to help her understand the gospel, right? That's what God does with each and every one of us. Firmly believe that. So yeah, I think you've unpacked your journey really, really well, Trish. I know one other thing that you've been able to do, and I mean, you're doing it now, is that you have used this as an opportunity to spread the word about embryo adoption to others, both large scale. I mean, I tell so many of our families this who do multiple things under the auspices of the NEDC to help spread the word. But you know, you've done a radio show, you've done a TV interview, now you're doing a podcast interview with me. So you've done those more large scale sorts of things where you're going to reach a broad audience. But I know you've also done some smaller scale stuff, you know, one-on-one. And one reason I know that is because other people from your church have since come here to do embryo adoption. They're all just terrific. So it's great. I'm sure it's a heck of a church. Talk about some of the opportunities that you've had as a result of God leading you to Sadie through the NEDC.
Well, any chance I get to talk about embryo adoption with anyone, I take it. In fact, sometimes Aaron's like, Trish, slow down. But I do, because I just find it's so beautiful. They're the tiniest little image bearers. I know you've used that term about these embryos many times. I've heard you say it, but they really are. And so I feel the need to advocate for them because they can't. So any opportunity that I get to do that, I want to be a voice because they don't have one. And I find that so many people don't know about embryo adoption. And then not even just that, but as you talk about embryo adoption, you really get to talk about the gospel, because you get to talk about, number one, how God is so loving that in the midst of a fallen world, that he still protects these little lives. in the midst of man trying to intercede in creation, we know still God is the one that creates. So he is the author of their lives. And so now here they are. And we get to talk about just the goodness of God in all of that. So sometimes it's not even all about, I'm talking to a family that I think are potential adoptive family. Sometimes it's just, I want to tell them about how good God is, that he does this beautiful thing. He's so merciful. I mean, in our sin, he could choose to just destroy it all, but he doesn't. He preserves. And we see that. So, but in our church, there are actually a couple of families I'm sure you've met. I won't say their names.
Right. I can't do that.
Give it away. But there are a couple of families who've already come and done their mock cycles, and they're getting ready to do their transfers. And there are a couple of other families we've talked to at our church that are intrigued, that they're on that kind of intrigue side. But the exciting thing in that for us too is, you know, these children won't be that much younger than Sadie is. And so they're going to grow up together in our church. And we have a wonderful church. I mean, wonderful community there. And we want her to be so grounded there, and that to be the place where her friends are. So the fact that there will be other children that have been adopted into families like her, how wonderful that is. She's not going to be the oddball.
No.
Because she won't be alone, and those kids either. So they're going to have each other.
Sadie's about a year and a half, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I should say that. And yeah. And you know, before we go, I do have to ask you, I think she probably has the best, or had the best onesie as a newborn or relative newborn that I've ever seen. I'll never forget you when you guys sent us a picture of her with a barbecue themed shirt. And I believe it was, I just spent 8 or 9 months in the pit. So I mean, I got to think that Aaron and you are huge barbecue fans, and she is going to grow up to absolutely love Alabama barbecue.
Yes, she's actually eating barbecue right now for lunch with Aaron, but he was giving her a speech because it's not his barbecue. So he was, I heard him before I walked in here. He said, "Now this is not good barbecue. This is not daddy's." So yeah, we are pretty into barbecue. We both are barbecue judges. We have our detached garage in our new house is all smokers and grills and stuff.
Oh, my word.
So we're into it just a little.
Well, yeah. I would love to. I need to come visit you guys, because I know nothing about all that, but I think it's fabulous, and I love barbecue too. You know, now here in Knoxville, you know, we're a little bit north of you guys. I don't know if the barbecue you do down there is different than sort of like the sweet tangy barbecue sauce that we like here in Knoxville. Is there a substantive difference, or where have you sampled Knoxville? Where would we rank on the barbecue authenticity meter?
Well, you know, the thing about barbecue, we're getting way off topic here.
We are, but I'm interested, and I'm the one running the show.
Yeah, why not? So barbecue is definitely regional. So like sometimes when people think of Huntsville, they think of the white sauce town. Yep. Because of Gibson's barbecue. And that's true, because that's home of the white sauce. But and more towards the Carolinas, you get towards like, I think more mustard based. Now, Aaron will get on to me if I say all this wrong, because he's like such a stickler. But it is very different. We tend to like more Texas style barbecue, salt, pepper, garlic, keeping it pure, taste the meat kind of stuff. That's kind of where we land. And I mean, no pressure, but everyone who eats our barbecue says it's the best they've ever had. So,
Well, we have a celebration coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could wheel the smokers over to Knoxville. It's something to think about, isn't it?
Something to think about.
Well, this was just great, Trish. Thank you so much for taking the time. I love hearing that Aaron and Sadie are eating barbecue right now, even if it's not the real thing. You got to start them young anyway. So that's all right. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast. Again, it's a presentation of the National Embryo Donation Center. If you want to learn more about this work, you can go to embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you for spending this time with us. Trish, thank you so much. I'm Mark Mellinger. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.